Houston, already from on high. John Carlo, good job. Good job reading, buddy. Good job. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. If you find the place, you're able to stand. Look in Joshua, chapter 1. It's always good to be at the house of God and to hear the saints of God singing the songs of Zion together, the special music. And what a blessing that it's already been here today. Joshua chapter 1, if you're able to stand in verse number 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people that thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, he says it again, doesn't he? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, and Moses thy servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now look at the last verse, verse 18. Wheresoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Says it again. Father, we want to ask your blessing now upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God once again. We pray that now that you would help us, and may you hide the word in our heart, that we not sin against thee, that we could teach transgressors thy ways. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the church of the living God. This is a place to be able to come, sing praises unto thee, to pray and to preach and see people born into the family of God. Now, Lord, I pray you'd save the soul nearest hell. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on Moses is dead, but life goes on. In the very lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that when the book of Deuteronomy closes out, that's the book that precedes this book right here. And as it closes out in Deuteronomy chapter number 34 and about verse number 5, you're going to find out that Moses, here he is, about to leave the world. In fact, is when he does leave this world, he's 120 years old. And let me tell you, the Bible said that Israel, they wept for him for 30 days. Now, I'm going to tell you, it must have been a trying time. Now, do you realize, though, that when we read chapter number 1 and verse number 1 over there in the book of Joshua, that the Lord spake unto Joshua? Have you noticed is that he's known his place? He was a good follower all these years. God didn't tell Joshua to tell Moses something. God told Moses. Moses had to tell Joshua. That's the way that it's always been. See, in the days whenever God was in charge and God was in command, by the way, he still is, even though people don't acknowledge him. God's always looked for a man to stand in the gap and to be able to toe the line. And let me say to you that, if you will, I praise God for you good, godly women that love God, the Bible, know your place, and that are righteous before the Lord. I appreciate that. But we live in a world to where that now women leadership, women are better at their job than men are. They're not strong enough to be in that position, but they are more effective in their position because that we've lost men. We live in the world of sissy men and stubborn women, and they're all of them lawyers and running for office. And let me say, I don't mean that, no reflection against a woman whatsoever. But I want to say to you that, if you will, that one of these days God said as that women would rule over us, and they do. And guess who they're trying to pacify? Children. And guess the reason why all that got away from what God had to say. Let me say to you that, if you will, that when women got to where they were not happy with the way God designed them, being a keeper at home, taking and guiding the house, bringing up their children, they done all of that, they were pretty quick at it and this and that. Now they're bored and they need to run the roads a little. And they're running, and they're flying, and they're you name it, buddy, they're involved in it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, God is about to speak to a man that's going to carry Israel on, and his name is Joshua. Now I want to say this, if you will, please, is that after the death of Moses, God speaks unto Joshua. And let me tell you something. He's called to take the place of Moses as a leader that's led by the Lord. Notice, if you will, please, is that he's going to lead Israel. And the Bible said in verse number 2, we've read the text already, that he's about to give them, and he said, I'm going to let you lead Israel. Notice is that number 2 in the lesson, Joshua was no ordinary man. And I'm going to tell you, some of these young men that are here, they're impressive. And you ought to build your heart, you ought to build your mind. One of these days, it'll be you leading a wife. It'll be you leading a family. It'll be you that'll stand in the gap. And let me tell you, you'd better let God hide the word in your heart. Some of you ladies, it'll be you that'll need to encourage your husband. I mean, they don't need to tell him how dumb and stupid and wimpy that he is. He already knows that pretty much. But let me say to you that it's going to come a time to where that there's going to be a leader, and you're going to have to undergird that leadership and try to be able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord. Joshua was no ordinary man. In fact is, if you're going to be able to want to have an extraordinary position, you're going to have to be not an ordinary man. Notice, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse number 9, that here's what he explains, and here's what God says about him, that when you look into him, Deuteronomy chapter number 34, verse number 9, he said, Joshua the son of Nun was a man full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let me tell you, is that Moses was a man. There's not another prophet like him, not another that ever rose up, not another man that ever stood before Pharaoh, and all those idolatrous practices of Pharaoh, and won the victory over every one of them. Remember that? I want to tell you something, is that Joshua was a man that was full of wisdom. Fellas, if you're going to be anything for God, you're going to have to learn what God said and ask God to give you wisdom and to know when to say it and how to say it and whom to say it to. You know, instead of tooting your horn like you're some kind of brass cymbal, you know, and sounding brass and a sounding cymbal and all that business there, you're going to have to be able to speak with wisdom and know that they can't resist the wisdom by which you speak. And you're going to have to be walking with God to do that. I mean, I know a lot of times in the day and hour that we're living in is that we just absolutely need a word of wisdom. And let me tell you, every day of your life, you're going to need it. And Joshua was a man that was not an ordinary man. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. And the Bible said that Moses had laid his hands upon him. And let me tell you the reason why. There's none like unto Moses. And because Joshua was a good follower, and God says, I'm going to have you to take the place of Moses. Moses is now dead, but you're going to be able to go on and carry on the children of Israel. Number 3, Joshua, not only that, but you'll find that he was promised by the Lord to have the presence of God. Now, if you'll stick with God and what God said and hide the word in your heart, that you not be a sinner against God, but that you could teach transgressors his ways, if you'll ask God to be with you, he'll promise you that his ever-abiding presence will be with you. In fact is, you'll find he is, by the way, the commander-in-chief. I laugh at all these people they want to call the commander-in-chief. You know, the president, I mean, listen, he's not even the commander-in-chief of Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, him and Chucky and the cheese business, I mean, they just, you know, something stinks in the White House as well as in suburbia. I want to say to you that, if you will, that the commander-in-chief is the Lord God of glory. And let me tell you right now, Israel's going to have the same leader they've always had by the word of the Lord, just a different man's name by the name of Joshua. Let me say that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find that what a great companion that it is, fellas, to be able to know that the Lord is your companion. What a great companion it is, ladies, to be able to know that your husband is walking with God and leading you and guiding you in the word of the Lord and in the things of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out God promised him and said, I'll not fail thee. And let me tell you right now, if there's any failure that comes up in your life, sometimes you're going to feel like God's failed you. And the reason being is because it isn't working out the way you thought it ought to be. Nothing's going the way you thought that it ought to be going. But let me tell you right now is that God's not ever failed me yet. God's not ever failed you yet. He may move us a different direction. There may be something we're going to be able to face that we think we're never going to be able to get over the top of it, but he'll bring us right over. I got to tell you, Joshua, he says, I'm not ever going to fail you, and I'm going to lead you. But he said, be strong and be of good courage. Now, have you got enough courage to be able to follow what God said in the Bible? You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? The poor little old preacher doesn't have enough courage to believe God and follow God and follow in the things of God. And let me tell you right now the reason why that he tells us over and over again, what was it, some 3 to 4 times that he said, only be of good courage, remember that? I'll tell you the reason why, because what God says is going to be contrary to the way the majority of the world, even the religious world, is thinking. You ever notice how your family and your kinfolks, you ever notice how that you scare them a little bit with the word of the Lord? I mean, one of the biggest problems you've got, if I were to talk to them, what do you think their biggest problem is? They go to church too much. Oh, really? What about, they listen to that preacher too much. Oh, I see. Well, what part of it is that they ought not to be listening? Oh, I don't know, but see, they've just got an opinion. And the reason being is because of the fact that they never had God speak to their heart. And I got to tell you something, whenever you look into it, is that number 4 is the name may have changed, but the leader's going to be the same. And old Joshua, buddy, here he is in love with the Lord. And by the way, the Lord is the one we are talking about that's going to lead you. Let me say to you, the Bible said that we had better observe to follow the word of the Lord. Did you notice in verse number 7 that we've read, he said, turn not from it to the right hand or the left hand. You know what that is? That's a straight walk with God, buddy. That isn't somebody saying, well, listen, here's what the word of the Lord. Oh, yeah, but see, you don't understand. I found a loophole here, and I found a way I'm gonna come back out on the right path. No, that ain't what God said. I don't want you turning to the right hand or to the left hand. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Mama. I'm going to tell you something, Daddy. You're bringing up your little old children in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's great. But if you go to taking a loophole and thinking you're going to come back and get in the path over here somewhere else later, let me tell you, they're not going to be there with you when it does. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you find that my heart was overwhelmed as I watched these girls and these grandkids and this grandson as they get up and stand and sing for the glory of God. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, they're grown enough now, they go anywhere they wanted to go and do anything they wanted to be doing. I'm privileged to have them sitting here with you and I contributing and serving and worshiping and praising the name of the Lord together. Not only that, but I look at them, I think about your kids whenever I do that. I was sitting there the other day whenever Miss Evie and Miss Abigail was singing. And I was sitting there and I heard somebody that was singing pretty good. And Gianni was singing along with them. That sounded pretty good, Gianni. You're not nearly as pretty as them girls are. But what a good thing that is. What a good thing that a young man is singing and humming and going on. And not only that, but he sits on the front line right here. I can tell if he goes to sleep or not. I've never caught you going to sleep unless you know how to sleep with your eyes open. Some of these other ones that are here, there and yon, not so much. I will say to you that if you will, Joshua, Moses is dead, but life goes on. And after 30 days of mourning, I want you to take Israel and carry them into a land And not only that, it's not going to be easy traveling. And fact is, you're going to find out that you better have the word of the Lord in your heart and in your mind and in your eye. And in verse number 8, you'd better observe to do it. Observe to do it. I want to say to you that whenever God tells him to be strong, then again in verse number 9, to be, only be thou strong. Let me tell you right now, when you're strong and of courage, that means that whatever God said, there's no need in flinching about it, no need in discussing the matter. Listen, when God said it, it's a settled matter, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or anybody else does or not, it's already settled in the throne room of God. I want to say that when you look into it, is that strength on the inner man on the inside. You know what he'll do? Give you strength to stand. Let me say to you that, if you will, that you're sort of like, every now and again, somebody's going to want to be bold, and they're going to want to challenge what you believe in the Bible, and they'll come up with something off the wall, you know. Here's your answer for them. When you know, you ought to just look at them and tell them, you know what? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life. You know, if idiots were airplanes, this would be an airport. I mean, every time you've got somebody that wants to be defiant against what the word of the Lord said, they're not defying you. They're defying what the word of the Lord said that you've repeated unto them. Well, you think that, I bet you Russia, I bet you Putin is just shaking in his boots. He's scared of all them queers we've got in the army, afraid. Man, they come over here and hit these men with their purse. Now, the average Baptist preacher's not going to say that because he'd get run off. Let me tell you right now, what you'll find is bragging material to the rest of the world is an abomination in the sight of God. They're perverts in the sight of God. And you're going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of your mind. And it's not hard to take that stand as long as you ain't got one in your family. But if you get too fond of people in your family, you won't be able to say nothing about their perverted thinking, their beer drinking, their dope smoking, their womanizing, their fornicating. You getting the picture? I will tell you, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and be able to say what God said without any apology whatsoever to it. The reason being is because the word of the Lord's where we stand. It's where we face others. It's where that you and I, buddy, are facing false religion and coming up against it with thus saith the Lord. And that's what Israel was going to be taught by Joshua, just like they've been taught by Moses. Let me tell you, false religion is no match whatsoever for the blessed word of the Lord and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to tell you something right now. When you leave this world like Moses left it, I mean, he's left with Abel to take a stand. Now, I know he didn't do everything exactly the way they ought to, and he paid for it. In fact, he wanted to go into the promised land. God let him look into it, but he said, you're not going in. And Betty begged God. God said, speak no more to me about it. You're not going in. I'll let you see it, but you're not going in. And let me tell you, God buried him in a place that only the Lord knew anything about. And let me tell you, the devil was contending with the angel of the Lord over the body of Moses. But make no mistake about it, he left this world having took a stand for God and laid his hand on the man that was going to take his place by the name of Joshua. I don't know if you realize it or not, folks, but we're in the battle. Do you ever see how much the devil is trying to grab hold of the minds of children? I've been preaching for years on it. It's not taking me by surprise. Is that the public school system has always, it doesn't matter if it's from the West Coast to the East Coast, North or South, is that the public school system, you buy their fruit, you'll know them. They've taken children and made them look the same and act the same and go the same and dress the same and be the same disrespectful people. And let me tell you, for years, the government has sabotaged the minds of these children until now it's got people a little bit afraid. And some of them are even coming up and saying, hey, man, what if we have to be able to get our children out of school and train them ourselves? And another person said, oh, man, no, you don't want to try that right there. You got the little dark. I had a man one time in church said, preacher, you don't know where there's a school that trains children that goes 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'd like to get them out of my house for a while. I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy task. Ladies, we ought to come home and we ought to hug you and praise the Lord and kiss the ground you're walking on. It's not an easy task to train children to grow up to be young men and young ladies. You see? And by the way, ladies, I know you're going to get frustrated and aggravated every now and again, and probably you're going to blow your stack. But go in the closet somewhere. Don't stand out there and cuss your husband in his absence while he's at work. Yeah, while he's at work having a good time. I'm over here trying to live. You're about to really put my little old. I got to say to you, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it, and they're not going to. We're in the Bible. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Now, do you want to enjoy your land in verse 15? I can tell you, verse 14 tells you how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to arm yourself. And you're going to have to arm yourself with the word of the Lord and with a weapon. And we're living in the day and the hour where people have no doubt. There's a whole lot of talk. There's a whole lot of talk about getting rid of everybody's gun. Let me tell you, me owning a gun's not a danger to anybody. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm not a danger to the police. I'm not a danger to any official. I'm not a danger to anybody up and down the road of life. Listen, whenever you try to put a mandatory gun ban upon people, you hurt people like me that's going to defend his family if necessary. You're not going to stop the criminal. They've been lying and cheating and conniving since the day they got into the world. You're not going to stop them by taking away a God-fearing man or God-fearing woman's weapon. Listen, if you're going to live for God and do what's God, you're going to be in the battle. And let me tell you something, you better prepare your heart and you better prepare your mind. Now, in verse 11, we'll not read it, but he told them, he said, look, you're fixing to go into the land of Canaan. I want you to prepare victuals. You're not going to be able to go in there empty, you know, handed. You're not going to go in there without enough strength, nourishment, and so forth and on. You're going to have a little bit more nutrition than them monster drinks or Red Bull or whatever them other bulls are. You see what I'm talking about? The boy got quiet then. What did you fix for supper? I figured you wouldn't be hungry again tonight, so I didn't fix nothing. My word, is there not one woman in here that ever fixes anything? I mean, it gets so quiet and all of that, you think that I... See what? Do you not know how to make cornbread and beans and all that right there? Let me tell you, and I don't know if you can eat pork or not, but if you can, boy, listen, you can't beat pinto beans, cornbread, and about four or five pieces of fried bacon. And if you've got some fresh tomato to go along with that, it's pretty good too, and all that. I just use that as an example. It's quick, it's simple, and all that. I got to tell you, I'm gonna tell you something. There's not one time that I ever have to go in there to get me some clean clothes that they're not already clean, pressed, red, ironed, folded, and they're ready to go. I've never had to go one time. Hun, where's the towels at? I mean, we don't own but 200 towels. Where are all 200 towels at? Not one time. I go to the closet there to be able to get me something to put on. And let me tell you right now, I know I look good up here and you think and everything and all that. But I'm, every time it's already fixed for me, it's ready to go. I'm just trying to tell you. I've got a job that I need to do. She's got a job she does. You know how she looks at it? When I say, let me help you with that. No, that's my job. I want to do that. I want to do that. I got to say to you in closing that if you will, please, sometimes you just got to prepare you some victuals. And sometimes it's a bologna sandwich. Just grab it up and go on with it. Or peanut butter and jelly. I'm not knocking that. But if you have that for breakfast, you ought not to have it for lunch and supper. Try not to eat all that sandwich, honey, because supper's coming up and you're going to need something. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, is that we want to be able to see what God's doing in the life. And in verse number 17, here's what they said. We're going to follow you, Joshua. Only let us be able to see the Lord on you like he was with Moses. They want to say that, I want to see the touch of God on you, and we'll follow whatever God said. We'll follow you just like we did Moses. Don't let us see the touch of the Lord upon you. And that's the reason why we closed out in verse number 18. There's going to be some death to those that don't. But only be thou of good courage and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been in this world long enough to be able to see a few preachers that came and went as I was a child growing up. And if you had a pretty good preacher, it always brought tears to the eyes of many of the family members because they knew that the risk of the man of God walking away and the word of the Lord ceasing for a while, that was always a possibility. And I want to tell you right now is that we've had some preachers. I've been through that preacher series of trying to figure out and vote on whichever one was most popular. I should say most spiritual, but nobody cared about that. They just cared about the one that was most popular. And you get one that preached like a house of fire, but the next one might be all sugar sticks and powder puffs. I used to listen to some of them dead, dull, dry missionaries that had one story after another story of their whole life and never nothing about what thus saith the Lord. As a young man, here's what I thought. I thought, I understand what a missionary is now. A missionary is a person that wants to be a preacher but can't preach well enough to be able to hold a church down. Therefore, he goes to the foreign field and he deals with people that have no education and don't know he's not doing a good job. That's what I, without anybody telling me, that's what I begin to look at. That's why that I tell you that I'm glad God snatched me as a brand from the burning. I'm glad God saved me before I got so cold and hard that I wouldn't believe it. Because if all I had to listen to was the average Baptist preacher in the day and hour we live in, I'd have been an atheist. No wonder people think that it's a joke. It's not a joke. Make no mistake about it. You'd better be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving while we were unlovable. I'd ask your blessings now upon us as we get ready to leave here today. What a great day it is in the Lord to be able to call you our Father and be called your sons and daughters. If there's one that's lost without God, may you trouble their heart till they come to know thee in the free pardon of sin. Now I pray you bless every family represented here today and be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray.